This morning, whether that be here in person or also online. We're in the first Sunday of Lent, and this is the question to help us in our worship this morning. Do you have a favorite temptation? Do you like it when temptation is put in front of you? Now, while temptation in and of itself may not be the problem, more often than not, and way too often, temptation can lead to an oops. Now, some of these oops are bad. Really, really bad. And so today we're going to focus on the subject matter of temptation. And we know somebody who knows a great deal about temptation. And so we ask our Lord, through our worship, to increase our wisdom and our hope, especially in the face of temptation. I invite your attention now to page 3 as we continue with our invocation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty.
My soul yearns even thanks for the courts of the Lord.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you.
Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
O Lord Almighty, blessed are they.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
Let us worship Him.
Thank you. Please stand. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him.
This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word is not in us.
God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. Lord, our strength, the battle of good and evil rages within and around us, and our ancient foe tempts us with his deceits and empty promises. Keep us steadfast in your word, and when we fall, raise us up again and restore us.
Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from Holy Scripture on this first Sunday in Lent, the book of Joshua, the 7th chapter, pointing out the fact, once again, that sin is costly. And the Lord, in this instance, makes this point in a very dramatic way. Early the next morning, Joshua had Israel come forward by tribes, and Judah was chosen. The clans of Judah came forward, and the Zerahites were chosen. He had the clan of the Zerahites come forward by families, and Zimrah was chosen. Joshua had his family come forward man by man, and Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimrah, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was chosen. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and honor him. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me. Achan replied, It is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and spread them out before the Lord. Then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold bar, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys, and sheep, his tent, and all that he had, to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, Why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today. Then all Israel stoned him. And after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. Over Achan they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore that place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn now to our psalm of the day, Psalm 118. We'll sing it as noted, a reminder of God's mercy and goodness to us. The vocalist will sing through the first refrain once, and then we'll join and sing it through a second time. The vocalist will sing the verses, and we'll join on the refrains in the Glory Be to the Father.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Even though we're in the season of Lent, we give thanks that the Sundays in Lent are little Easters, reminding us of the victory that already has been won and that remains ours by the grace of God. Because, while not an excuse, temptation is real and can get the best of us more than we care to admit. But thankfully, we are not without hope, and that hope is rooted in Jesus. A reading from Holy Scripture, Hebrews 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 4th chapter. Again, when we are tempted, we do not have to give in to it. Thankfully, we have one who can help us resist. And so the best case in point of not having to give in to temptation is Jesus himself. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand in the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated as we now turn to our hymn of the day. Dear friends, thankfully something remains ours still in great abundance, and that is God's grace and His peace and His mercy, and this is all thanks to our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our worship this morning. Words once again from the book of Hebrews. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to seek and to save the lost, which includes you and me. In addition to being certain that death and taxes will be around until the end of time, we can also add to that fact that there will be a life full of uncertainties that will be around until the end of time. And the uncertainties definitely pop up during war, such as what's going on currently in our world. And also when there is a natural disaster, uncertainty can rule the day. Markets rise and fall, causing us to be uncertain about certain decisions, where our life is headed, especially if we're nearing retirement. Gas prices on the rise can leave a bit of uncertainty with our pocketbook in mind. On the lighter side of things, but unfortunately, which does impact the livelihood of thousands of people, we are not even certain if there will be a Major League Baseball season this year. Life is full of uncertainties. Now, in and through all these uncertainties, which could lead us to be all doom and gloom, thankfully, there is a positive certainty that we have to hold on to, that we can count on. And not just during times of uncertainty, but we have this positive certainty to count on even during the good times of life. And thankfully, we are blessed with good times in life because we know we have to face times of uncertainty, and not just uncertainty, but also times of temptation. Temptation which can get the best of us in times of uncertainty. And temptation that can get the best of us even when the times are good. So what's the cure? To not go to the extreme in the face of uncertainty and not go to the other extreme in the face of good times. The cure, the answer, is put before us by inspiration in the writer to the writer of the Hebrews. And that is Jesus. Hold on to Jesus, we are encouraged. Again, this is important to do not just when times are uncertain, but also when times are good. And thankfully, the Lord does give us good times. And as we're going through those good times, do we recognize that as a good time? And do we acknowledge God for that good time and stop to give Him thanks for that good time? Or is it only during the times of uncertainty that we'll call out God's name? And it's not out of thankfulness, but with a fist. Now, we can get caught up in that mentality of woe is me or look at me. So how important we need this reminder from Hebrews. Another example that our life is full of temptations. And if we're not careful, how temptation can get the best of us. The Lord laid out before us in our first reading. And also lays out the temptations that fall before us in that gospel reading. As we face the temptations that Jesus faced, but thankfully, He was able to resist. So again, What's the cure? What's the solution? What's the way to endure temptation and overcome it? It's Jesus. And so that reminder, dear friends, to hold on to Jesus. He is the example to follow, but he is much more than that. He is the mediator we need. As part of the example to follow, keep in mind, again, that Jesus was faced with temptation. Satan was there with the goal of trying to get Jesus to fail, to trip up. Did you notice Satan's approach to Jesus? If you are, Satan knew. And then, I have all this and I'm going to give it to you. Satan knew who the Creator was and who was the creation. And yet that father of lies, hoping to create some doubt in the Creator, didn't he remember that when he tried to rebel the first time, the Creator kicked him out? But he's bold. He's gutsy. Maybe he's got a short memory. So he attempts to knock out the Creator of the universe, the Son of God, once again. And thankfully, Jesus would have none of it. Because Jesus knew that he was on a mission, just as Satan was on a mission, and Jesus was aware of Satan's mission to try to trip him up. But Jesus knew he needed to get to the cross, because without the cross, we're lost in our sins and doomed to eternal destruction. But with the cross, we have forgiveness, and with forgiveness comes hope and opportunity and life forever. And so Jesus, full aware of his mission, continued to carry that out. And he knew what he had to endure to carry out that mission. He knew he would have to face temptation. And so the writer to the Hebrews reminds us that we have one who can empathize and also sympathize with us in the face of temptation, because he himself had to face temptation. That was part of the reason why he took on human flesh. He didn't just say, hey, you know, you guys should go resist temptation. No, he became an example of how to resist temptation. What did he go back to? Back to the Word. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Hinges back on that third commandment. How important it is to not despise the preaching and hearing of his word, but gladly hear and learn it. Not just for a feel-good opportunity, but for the strength we need to resist temptation, because how many people, including us, fail at resisting temptation? It's Sunday morning. It's a little chilly. I'm going to cover up some more. Church can wait. I'm hungry. Stop at a restaurant first. Church can wait. Ah, I've heard that story before. You know, that's all Satan needs. A little thought of chill in the air, putting your physical hunger ahead of your spiritual need. A little too much arrogance of what you think you know. And you are lost for all eternity. And so Jesus says, hold on to me. Resist that temptation. In and of yourself, you cannot. That Ephesians 6 reminder, who's our battle really against? It's not so much flesh and blood, but the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And do you think you're able to withstand and take on and overcome such forces? Foolish us if we think so. But Jesus has given us what we need to recognize and resist and overcome. He's given us the sword of the Spirit. He's given us the armor of God. But if we don't put it on, if we don't take it up, what happens? We lose. And so hold on to Jesus, an example of what to do in the face of temptation. Go back to the Lord. Go back to the Word. Thankfully, Satan's attempt to knock down Jesus, to cause him to fail, to overthrow Jesus, did not work. And so Jesus then is not just an example of what to do in the face of temptation. He becomes the strength of being able to do what needs to be done in the face of temptation. Because as already alluded to, we cannot do what Jesus did just because of who we are. We need Him to influence us, to move us to say no. Otherwise we cave. Think of Achan, child of Israel, had seen God's deliverance of the children of Israel firsthand. And the children of Israel were winning wars by God's doing. And then, instead of completely following the Lord's instructions about total annihilation, temptation gave birth to sin. Wow. These are nice things. Be ashamed to lose them, to just throw them away. We'll keep them. Who will get hurt? People died as a result of his caving to temptation. And not just he and his family, but before that, which then led to the calling out of Achan as the one. Something happened here. The Lord used a dramatic way to say, something's not good here, and it needs to be rooted out, or else it will continue to eat away. Kind of similar to what the Lord says, a little yeast works through the whole batch. I'll just give in to this temptation now, but I'll resist it later. It doesn't work that way. Because it can just keep eating away. And not just on an individual setting, but also in a church setting. If we allow sin to go unchecked, what will happen? It will fester and grow. And instead of being a church that holds on to Jesus, we're a church doomed to hell. And so we need this reminder to hold on to Jesus, the example and the strength, so that we don't do what Achan did, that we recognize this is a temptation and we need to follow his will perfectly. But unfortunately, we will fall. Now, when we fall, what will we do? Will we try to rely on ourselves? Or will we hold on to Jesus? Now, keep in mind, temptation is different for each and every one of us. For Achan, it was the material possessions. For others, it's another human being. For others, it's chasing up the corporate ladder. Ask God to help each one of us recognize what is that pet temptation that Satan will keep throwing at us. And then ask God to help us keep resisting that temptation to the point where that doesn't even become a temptation any longer. We pray that in the Lord's Prayer, right? More than just words, but from our heart, lead us not into temptation. Help us recognize what is that pet temptation. Lord, help us say no to it again and again and again. Even if it means making sacrifices in my life to get away from that temptation. Lord, help me hold on to you, or else the result will not be pretty. It was not pretty for Achan and his family. It was not pretty for Judas, who again was tempted by material goods and turned on himself, to himself, led to a disastrous result. And like Achan, to think that we can keep that hidden from God. Just before these words, we're reminded of the fact that the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. Nothing lays hidden before God, but gets uncovered. Now, your family and your friends, Your church community may not know what temptations you have given into, but God does. And so how important it is then for daily contrition and repentance, for daily holding on to Jesus, so that the eternal consequences don't get us, but the heavenly ones do. And that's why it was important that Jesus be the mediator we need. He took our place. He took on temptation. He took on sin. In fact, he even took on our sins upon himself and became that sacrifice that was needed to atone for our sins in full. "It is finished," he cried. "Your sin has been paid for. All those temptations that you gave into and will give into have been paid for." Not as an excuse to give into them and hold on to them, but to get rid of them through Jesus. His blood, thankfully, covers our sins. And so when you are facing temptation, knowing that Jesus already paid for your falling, go to him, knowing that he can give you what you need to resist and to come back up again. Because what is that temptation as well? Once we fall, what will Satan come in and do? He'll say, you know, now that you've fallen, God is not going to forgive you. But what did Jesus do? He's forgiven you. The blood's already been shed. So tell Satan, no, God can and does forgive me. Jesus, help me hold on to you. Knowing that my sin has been forgiven, and that your mercy is new again tomorrow and the next day and the next day. It wasn't easy for Jesus to get us to that point. He endured more than we can ever imagine. But thankfully he did. So that he could be that ongoing mediator, that ongoing go-between between God and us, and give us hope in the face of uncertainty and in temptation. So, dear friends, continue to go to him in prayer. We're reminded in Thessalonians to pray continually, because temptation and uncertainty is before us continually, but so is Jesus and the blood that he shed and the victory that he has won for us. He gives us confidence in life. He's approachable. Freedom and confidence he has given us to approach God's throne. Lord, help me hold on to you, to recognize what is a temptation for me and to resist it. And Lord, help me realize that when I am weak, that's when I'm really strong. Because when I think I'm strong, I'm relying on myself and I'm going to cave more often than not. But when I realize I am weak and that I need you, Lord, I am strong and able to resist. And the writer to the Hebrews reminds us too, as we approach the throne of God's grace with confidence, we do that so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Mercy is not giving us what we deserve, and grace is giving us what we don't deserve. Two beautiful ways of basically saying the same thing. God gets the credit. He has lifted us up through Jesus. And so approach the throne of grace. It has been opened up to you. Approach it with confidence and ask the Lord to help you in the face of your temptation. For as we're also reminded by the Apostle Paul, if you think you are standing firm, think again. None of us can resist on our own, but through Jesus we can. Now there are ways to deal with uncertainty, And with temptation, it all goes back to Jesus. And so hold on to Him. Who in your life this week needs that encouragement? Who is facing temptation and uncertainty? Who has caved and needs to be pointed back to Jesus? God grant you the words and the confidence to approach that person so that they, with you, can hold on to Jesus now and for eternity. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's turn to a confession of faith on page 9. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. Amen. For our thank offering prayer this morning, we'll join together in singing the song, Lord of All Good. Further pray. Heavenly Father, You loved the world and gave Your Son to liberate us from sin and death by His obedient death on the cross.
We confess that without Your love, we are lost.
Lord of the Church, we thank You for the treasure of the gospel. By Your Spirit, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.
Strengthen our determination to do what
let us pray for those who carry a cross in the name of Christ and face ridicule and persecution for the sake of the kingdom, missionaries and chaplains, Young people who stand up for what is right in the face of pressure to do what is wrong, and all who pay a high price for their faith and their values as Christians.
By your Spirit, O Lord, grant them patience and endurance.
Let us pray for those who carry heavy burdens in life, the sick and the chronically ill, the depressed and the lonely, those torn by conflict and personal relationships, those victimized by war and injustice, and all who face the terrors of life with a heavy heart.
Grant them peace, O Lord, and in your mercy, be their guardian and friend, their comfort and hope.
Let us pray for those who care for others, pastors and counselors, physicians and nurses, social workers and caring friends, all who feed the hungry, comfort the hurting, and stand beside the dying.
Strengthen them in their work, O Lord, and do not let them become weary in doing good.
Again, Lord of heaven and earth, you raise up earthly powers and bring them down. As war continues in Europe and impacts the world, watch over your people there and here. Help them hold on to your promises, which are valid in life and in the face of death. Lead searching souls to your Son and the peace He alone has to offer during earthly strife and into eternity. May people come to appreciate the value of life and the freedoms you have allowed us to have. You have allowed another reminder of the fact that this life is temporary and full of uncertainty, but the life you have made possible through Jesus is eternal and so brings the certainty we need through this life. Help us hold on to Jesus and encourage others to do the same. Be with Igor Sadiq as he prepares for surgery. Bless the procedure with success and give peace of heart and mind to Igor and his family. Continue to shower grace upon grace on those celebrating a birthday this week and help our married couples keep the spark in their marriage, moved by your love for each of them. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Help us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Keep us faithful even to the point of death, that we may receive the crown of life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And we also pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As we continue with the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give you thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
Now may this body which was given for you and this blood which was shed for you strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go and live your life with peace and joy and confidence, for you are at peace with God. Amen. We pray. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord. Let the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world. That the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again. And that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Thank you.
to see you again on a day the Lord has given to us. Just to highlight a couple of things, again, the Connect cards, if you haven't filled one out, please take the time to do so and return it in the basket there on the table in the lobby with the table with the lamp on it. Appreciate that. Bible study taking place today here in the church proper. We're still looking at the commandments. We're wrapping up Commandment 6 and getting into Commandment 7 and how that applies to our day-to-day life. LWMS Mission Box, first Sunday of the month, emphasis on that, and also with a rally coming up. So if you have questions about the Mission Box, you can see the information board. There's information there, or you can talk to Ellie or Kitty or Clara, and they can give you more information about the Mission Boxes and why those are important and what missions we're currently supporting through those Mission Boxes. So keep that in mind. Wednesday, our second midweek service at 6:30 here in the church. Supper starts at 5:30 in the Multipurpose Center. We're still looking for volunteers and donations for the Easter egg hunt that's coming up on April 9th. So if you want more information about that, see the weekly news. There's a donation box there in the lobby looking for either candy or trinkets that would be appropriate that would fit in those eggs. And again, if you have more questions outside of the weekly news, you can catch Dina Oswald and ask her for ideas. The next several weeks, we'll have Sunday school starting here in the church proper at 9:15. Usually Sunday school starts out with some songs, singing songs, and so we're going to, over the next few weeks, do that here in the church. So you're welcome to join in from 9:15 to 9:30 and joining in on the Sunday school and singing hymns. And also then if you want to be part of a Voices of Praise group on Palm Sunday that will process in with palms, you can learn more about that during that time as well. And just people have approached the Board of Elders with possibly having, you know, one service on a Sunday morning, not permanently, but just on occasion. And so we're just throwing it out there. Someone suggested Palm Sunday might be a Sunday where we would have one service maybe at 9:30. So at this point, we're just looking for your feedback. You can reach out to one of the elders or myself so that, you know, Ryan Miller, Dan Cummins, Mike Rostedt, or Greg Meyer, reach out to us with your comments on that. Constructive comments, please. Thank you. And then see the weekly news for other things that are going on here at church and school. A lot to be thankful for, even during a time of uncertainty in our world. Blessings on your day. Thank you.